I only have a little bit of time, and I actually am feeling stirred up to go a different direction than I originally had planned, which is always fun because I'm a planner and Jesus knows this, but he still always wants to mess with my plans. Praise the Lord. And so how many of you guys know that Jesus could actually... Jesus is less concerned with your plans. He really is. He's less concerned with your plans and more concerned with how obedient you're going to be. Obedience over sacrifice. And this is... I want to take some time to talk about Holy Spirit. My wife actually asked me, what are you speaking on today? Are you speaking on Holy Spirit? And to a degree I was, but it wasn't the exact direction I was going. And then as I was standing up here, I felt stirred in a different direction. And this is why it's important as believers, we are in tune with Holy Spirit. Receiving Jesus is just the beginning. Saying yes to the Lord is just the beginning. After that, after we say yes to Jesus, we then get to go on a journey with Holy Spirit, because when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave Holy Spirit for you. It's almost like going from it's because God doesn't call us to go from glory to good. He calls us from go to glory to glory. And so it's almost like grew up your whole life, you know, drinking the off-brand soda, Dr. Thunder, right? And then all of a sudden you get those, what was it, 17 ingredients? I don't remember. Whatever is in Dr. Pepper. How many? 26. And you get that first taste of Dr. Pepper and you're like, oh my gosh, this is... Dr. Thunder tastes good. This is great, right? And not to compare Jesus to Dr. Thunder and Holy Spirit to Dr. Pepper, but you get what I'm saying, right? We get this opportunity to experience something great, and that is Holy Spirit. And I want to read again in Acts 2. I read a bit of it this morning. Actually, I'm going to start in 14. This is Peter. Peter addresses a crowd. So Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit drops on them. Okay, they've been without Jesus for some time. They're scared out of their minds, right? They're actually in hiding, and then Holy Spirit shows up. And here's where we actually never hear the word revival in the Bible, but I believe this is where we get to see a depiction of revival in this time. Okay, so in Acts 2, starting in 14, it says Peter addressed the crowd. It said, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Hello. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Like I read this morning, all people means all people. All people means you and I. All people means every person driving by our church right now. All people means the people that live on the streets. All people means the people that are right now in our jail downtown. All people means all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, even our servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, like we sang about this morning. Praise God. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if we engage properly with Holy Spirit, we get to operate different than the rest of the world. It's not just, I come to church on Sunday, that's what makes me different. It's not just, well, I read this ancient book and that's what makes me different. It's not just, I dress a certain way and that's what makes me different. No, what sets me apart when I receive Jesus is that Holy Spirit comes inside of me and I get to operate operate in a different way than the rest of the world, right? I have the secret sauce, if you will, in that when I need to make decisions, I get to pull on Holy Spirit. I get to pull on heaven. I don't have to come to Pastor Mike, even though there is wisdom in having a man of God in your life, and say, Pastor Mike, please tell me what to do. That would be nice. But often his answer is, you need to pray. Why? Because he has the answer. And when I get, and because I'm a son, because I'm a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's gifted me something so much greater than any man could possibly, and say, here's Holy Spirit. Walk in that. This last Wednesday, we had a great, me and my student leaders got to go to a Spanish church in town. I'm blanking the name now. I can't say that. It was a Spanish church, okay? And I thought it was really funny because God's just so funny. Again, he likes to play with my plans. Recently, in the last few months, I've been praying, God, I want more opportunity. I want more opportunity to spread your gospel. I want more opportunity to speak at different places. This is something that I've probably laid down over the last few years for whatever reason. But recently it stirred up inside of me like, God, I want to do more. And so I started to get these opportunities, and like a friend asked me to speak at his youth group, and then I got to speak at Riverside's Chapel, and then somebody else asked me to speak like this summer, and so I'm like, all right, cool, that's awesome, God. And then I get a phone or a text message from a pastor at a Spanish church. Her son actually comes to our youth ministry, and she says, I want you and your team to come minister at my church. And I said, yeah, I don't speak Spanish, though. And she said, that's okay. You could use a translator. Praise the Lord. And so I went, and I didn't know what to expect. She didn't give me much direction. She just said, I want you to do what you guys do. Let Holy Spirit flow through you guys. Because I don't know if you guys know this. I know we talk about a youth ministry, and we talk about the fun stuff we do, and we do fundraisers, and I'm telling you, we're going to camp. But actually, like at the core of what we're doing, we're actually trying to raise up a generation to engage with Holy Spirit. And we're saying, do you want to experience Holy Spirit? And some of them are saying yes, and we're saying, okay, great. Now we're going to do it. Why? Because there is no junior Holy Spirit. There's Holy Spirit. Holy, what does it say? He poured out his spirit on all man, on everyone, young to old. And so I don't look at a 13, 14, 15-year-old and say, you're disqualified because you don't actually remember how to put deodorant on every day. I don't say that. No, I say you are more than qualified. Why? Because God calls you. Because God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Okay? And so I look at these young people, and Nancy and I say, we're going to raise you up to do these things. And we're going to raise you up to take risks. And we're going to raise you up to hear Holy Spirit. And we're going to raise you up to do things that are scary. Because I want this generation, this next generation, what some say what statistics are saying right now is the most depressed generation, is a generation that has to seek therapy the most, is a generation that is the most scared, anxiety-driven generation. And I want to pour into this generation and say, hey, yes, that may be true, but what is truth, okay, what is truth is that if you get rooted in Christ, like Pastor Mike shared last week, if you get rooted in Christ, you actually can be and do something different on this planet. And so I took a group of young people to a Spanish church, and we got, remember, I don't know what we're walking into. I don't know what we're doing. We get on, we led worship as well. And at one moment I look in the room and there's like 10 people. And the next moment the room is full and there's like 50 people, maybe more. I don't know. There's a bunch of people in the room, and they're all worshiping God, and they're all hungry. And we got in front of these people, and I preached the message, and I brought our students up, and I said, hey, you're going to release words over these people. Why? Because I believe that these young people can hear from the Lord. And the same can go for you and I. It's just a matter of stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of the boat. I'd rather be a fool that's wet than a safe Christian that's dry. I'd rather step out and start sinking and have to have Jesus pull me out than be a Christian that is just safe up here and say, oh, I'm just going to do my little safe Christian thing, and I'm going to make sure that I do all these things, but not actually ever jump in and allow God to do something that maybe makes me feel uncomfortable. The only way we get there, though, is by taking risk with Holy Spirit. What happened here in Acts, I think we could read it and look past the how weird it was. And I want you guys to read this with new eyes, that these guys were you know, up in an upper room, and they were praying. And it says like something like tongues of fire above their heads. We don't actually know what that means. Like there are theologians all over that have said, oh, this is what it looked like. And they've tried to paint pictures and stuff. We have no idea. But it was weird. Weird doesn't mean bad. Weird actually means supernatural. And so we as believers, if we're going to engage with Holy Spirit, need to be ready for God to do something weird in our lives. God to do something magnificent, something supernatural, if we're going to step out of the boat. And so, yeah. Yeah, who wants to step out of the boat? Anybody in here that wants to step out of the boat? I think you know, we mention it frequently. Our church is a small church. Our church is a small body. You know, we have more people that come to the church that aren't here today, and I recognize that. But even if everybody that showed up on a Sunday morning that typically is here, we'd still be a small body, okay? And that's okay. What I believe is not okay is if we stay a small body that has a small God inside. You hear what I'm saying? I'm more than happy, and I believe Mike and Gay as well, I can speak for them as well, I'm more than happy to show up just with the, you know, whatever, 12 people that are in this room. We're more than happy to continue to do this as long as we're engaging with a big God in our hearts, as long as we're continuing to grow here. There are churches in our city, and especially all over the nation, but churches in our city that are large in size. And to the outside, to the natural eye, we can be like, wow, God's moving so mightily. Maybe, or, and this is just me just speaking, or it's just a lot of people that are doing the same thing from Sunday to Sunday. And I want nothing to do with just going from Sunday to Sunday and doing the same thing. I'm not interested in it. God wants more for me. God wants more for you guys to come into this building and actually engage with Holy Spirit, get equipped, leave this place and go onto the mission field of Yakima, Washington, in your workplaces, in your homes, in your families. Like some of you need to glean as much as you can from these people that you get around. These might be the only Christians you know. Some of you need to glean from what you get here. Go back into your home and pour it out all over your family. Some of you need to go back home and you need to anoint your home and just pray over every bedroom that you can. Some of you need to go into your workplace, get there a little bit early, and just pray over your workplace. Pray over your coworkers. I'm telling you, we get to be, we learned this years ago, we get to be thermostats. We get to be people, not thermometers. We don't walk into a room and take the temperature. We walk into a room and we set the temperature. This is what we saw Jesus do. You read stories about Jesus. Jesus ruined every funeral he went to, including his own. Why? Because he walked into a space, and even though there was crying and mourning around him, right? He walks into Jairus' daughter. He walks into the room. They're crying. They're mourning. She's dead. She's been dead for some time. We have no idea how long it took him to get from where he was to where she was. But he walks into the room and she's dead. They're mourning. They're crying. He says, everybody leave. Why? Because I don't come into this space and come under what the mourning of what's in this room. But I'm actually coming in and bring life in this room. And this is what we get to do. Why? Because when Jesus left, he left his Holy Spirit. And so we get to operate as Jesus, right? As an ambassador of heaven, right? We get to that lyric. I don't remember the exact lyric in the song, but it talks about how we are a citizen of heaven, right? When we walk into a place or when we go into wherever we go, we operate as ambassadors of heaven. Ambassadors of heaven. That means that we have to watch how we speak. We have to watch how we walk. We have to watch how we think. We have to watch how we not only speak out loud, but speak about the atmosphere, speak about our city. Why we make declarations is not just a thing we do. It's because we are trying to change the atmosphere of our city. And I believe the few in this room have the ability to create a ripple effect across our city and not just be somebody who lives here because why? Well, I was born here and this is where I'm from, or because this is where I work, or this is where my family is. But actually, God, you could have had me born anywhere, could have brought me anywhere. Vicky's from Florida. Nancy's from Florida, right? Like God, like Joanne, you're from somewhere else, right? Alabama. Like, you guys, God could have brought us anywhere. And he brought us to Yakima, Washington. Why? I don't know. Maybe because he wants his children to rise up and do something different for this city and not be complacent and not just accept, oh, Yakima is Crack-a-ma and Yakka Vegas and Yakistan. That's a new one I learned at Riverside. You know, and what's that? Yakistan. I know. I hate it. Okay. But Yakima actually has something that we have something that we can pour out into Yakima. Amen. Stand with me. I want to pray. And I just want us to come together in unison that we are saying yes to engage with Holy Spirit in its proper manner, and not just treat Holy Spirit as an afterthought or Holy Spirit as something that we talk about at breakout services, or Holy Spirit, you know, is only reserved for when the man of God comes up and starts giving words. But actually, no, we as children of God get to engage with Holy Spirit because God poured out his Spirit on all man. So Lord, I thank you that every man and woman in this place, young and old, Lord, has Holy Spirit. They have the ability to receive Holy Spirit. I just ask right now that if there's any person in this room that has not said yes to Holy Spirit, that today that would be the day that they say yes to you, God. They would say yes to you, Holy Spirit. And they would begin to be guided by you. They would begin to be led by you. They would not make decisions based on their own knowledge or own wisdom, but they would make decisions based on your wisdom. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your Spirit on this place. You're pouring out your Spirit on your children, on your sons and daughters right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're not just a God that pours out just enough, but you are a God that pours out overflowing in an abundance right now. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are in this place. I thank you, Jesus, that you have a call on our lives. You have a call on this church. You have a call on this house of God. And I thank you, Lord, as we leave this place, as we go out about our normal Sunday afternoon, our normal week tomorrow, God, that we would live different, Lord. We would walk our lives with Holy Spirit in mind. We would walk as we have you on our shoulder with every step in mind, and that we would not do anything, we would not say anything, we would not think anything that would make Holy Spirit want to flee our presence, God. We thank you that you're pouring this out. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you pour out in abundance. God, I pray against complacency in this place. God, I pray that there would not be one person in this place that is settling in their faith. God, and if they are, Lord, you would begin to minister to them right now, God. You'd be begin to shift and change their heart, Lord, to want to go deeper with you, Lord. That no longer will we have bystanders, or Christians as bystanders, Lord, but we would have active members, Lord, of your church, God. We would have active members, Lord, who are doing the work of the gospel. In whatever way that looks like, God, we may not be all called to be evangelists, Lord, but we are all called to receive your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Begin just revealing to us, God, revealing to us who you truly are in our lives. Yeah. Yeah, and I thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. That's all I have. My last encouragement is that we would just do something different with our faith. We would do something mighty with our faith, and that I want to start hearing testimonies of hey, I reached out, I prayed for this person. Hey, I've been praying for this thing, and I saw a breakthrough in this area. All that stuff starts with risk. Amen.